welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
We're well into spring and well past football season, but the poem that you've chosen reminds us of the impact even minor head injuries can have. I don't have much of an introduction except that this particular article comes from JAMA. It was published in 2015 and starts on page 2672. It's part of the Rational Clinical Exam series, one of my favorite series that sort of looks at what we do and tries to put the evidence around it and give us some idea. This actually is looking at useful signs and symptoms of severe intracranial injury after what would be considered minor head trauma. And my allusion to football, obviously, has to do with the fact that often these men and boys and unfortunately increasingly girls and women have what we consider minor head trauma. Some of them end up with long-term consequences. This is obviously not looking at long-term effects, but short-term effects, and it is a meta-analysis. Mark, what did they find, and what do they advise about how we examine these patients?
Yeah, it is a great series, and having I have sympathy for the authors, any author of any article in this series. I've written a couple, one on sore throat and one that's going to come out in a month or two on mono, and it's an ordeal. It's like a 2 or 3 year slog to get one of these written and approved and 4 different layers of review. They to their credit, they really do a very thorough job of vetting these articles, and I think you're right, they do provide a really high level of evidence. So this was limiting this. They looked at studies of patients who had a traumatic brain injury and a Glasgow coma score of 13 or higher. So that's how they defined mild traumatic brain injury. They got whacked, but their Glasgow coma score, which has a maximum of 15. 15 is, hopefully you and I right now. 13 or 14 is some mild measurable deficit, but nothing that appears serious. And these patients often appear to be doing pretty well after the incident. So can we tell, are there elements of the clinical exam that we need to look at in order to figure out who has a serious intracranial problem? So they came up with 14 studies. Over 23,000 patients. They all enrolled patients with a Glasgow score between 13 and 15, and they all got scanned to look for serious intracranial injury. Overall, 7% had a serious intracranial injury, and a total of 0.9%, so a little less than 1%, had an injury that led to either death or that required surgery. So some of these things that they defined as a severe intracranial injury, they might be a hairline fracture that doesn't require intervention. They might be a small intracranial bleed that's monitored but doesn't require an intervention, that kind of thing. So what were the risk factors? So basically, being a pedestrian, getting hit by a car, not surprisingly, is an important risk factor. Being over age 60 was also an important risk factor for having a serious problem. In terms of symptoms, anybody that's vomiting, especially if they have at least 2 episodes of vomiting, and anybody with a post-traumatic seizure, those increase the likelihood of a severe intracranial problem, need to get evaluated. Loss of consciousness or the presence of headache actually were only minimally associated with serious injury, which I thought was interesting, certainly not what we were all taught. Turns out to not be as helpful as we thought. There were some physical signs, and these were from the Captain Obvious School of Medicine, so visible open skull fracture. That's bad. Palpable depressed skull fracture, again, bad. That's bad. You're good, Mike. You're picking up on this. Yeah, that's bad. Posterior auricular ecchymosis, called battle sign. The blood behind the eardrum, hemotympanum, clear fluid leaking from the ear, or raccoon eyes, those are all associated with orbital fractures and are a bad sign. Really strong predictors in those cases. Also, the Glasgow coma score itself, if someone had a score that was 13 or 14 compared with 15, That was associated with worse outcomes. And if it was decreasing over time, so, you know, we talk about monitoring patients over time. If during their ER stay, if a couple hours later, their Glasgow Coma score had gone from 15 to 13, for example, that indicated the greater likelihood of a severe problem. And finally, they looked at some clinical decision rules. The folks that gave us the Ottawa ankle rules, and Ian Steele and his colleagues in Ottawa, and the Ottawa foot rules and the Ottawa everything rules, they also have a Canadian CT head rule. And that one has seven items. And basically, if you have a GCS that's less than 15 at 2 hours, any of those signs of a basal skull fracture, suspected open or depressed skull fracture, vomiting more than once, age over 64, amnesia before impact of at least 30 minutes, or some kind of a dangerous mechanism like getting hit by a car if you're on foot, or getting thrown from a car, or falling more than 3 feet. If you had any of those, you were considered high risk. And so, and those patients all needed imaging. If you had none of those, then you were low risk. 0 out of 2,115 in the original study had a problem. So that's a useful rule. We have it in essential evidence. It's just a simple checklist. If you have any of these things, you get the head CT. If you have none of them, then the head CT is unlikely to show a problem.
Excellent. A nice review. Hopefully, most of us don't see much of this, but for those of us that do work in urgent care centers or emergency departments, it's always nice to get the evidence in terms of working out patients with the intracranial injuries. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. We'll be right back.